Again, turn to hymn number 367, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And let's sing all four verses of this one.
Back up to page 367. I was just singing from memory, and I wanted to read to you. I sing, and a lot of times I'll sing and not think about what I'm saying. And it says there in the second verse, "Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood," which is a reference to getting saved. The next verse says, "Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease," means putting the sin, our mistakes, and our own desires, self, behind us, "just from Jesus, simply taking life and rest and joy and peace." Boy, some neat verses. And I was listening to them there, but I didn't have my hymnal open. And I am thrilled to see each and every one of you. I'm thrilled to have our guest with us. Just make yourself at home and join in the services. But I am thrilled that you are here this morning. I want to go ahead and ask everyone to stand. And would you just go around and shake somebody's hand right now? Give them a hug. Second, y'all are having too good a time. Not supposed to have a good time in church. It's in the book of Second Opinions, chapter 3, I think it is. We got a lot of those second opinions, and I'm glad you are. Good fellowship, good prayer, being revival starting tomorrow night. Monday through Friday, Ora Missionary Baptist Church, O-R-A, old church in the town of Huntington, Texas. Pray for me. Be staying with my mom, so having to get to visit there. Also, I pray for I'm feeling better. My voice is doing better. There's a lot of head colds and sinus stuff going around. I know that. This Arkansas weather. In Miss Francis's class, they prayed for the lost and people out of service. I appreciate that. That is so needed. Specific people. Amen. seated. All right, I'm going to invite all my pastor pals to come on up here. Boy, you know, I shared this with you before. There's some things in life I take for granted. Y'all help each other out and put that in there. Y'all help each other. Okay, thank you. You know, I take for granted sometimes being able to breathe. Y'all sit down, Jace. being able to breathe through your nose, that's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing. Okay, everybody take a look at this. I need some y'all to tell me, what is that? Anybody know? What is that? What is that?
A letter.
Way to go, Percy. That is a letter, okay? And there's several things on there that you need for a letter, okay? And there, can anybody tell me what is that thing right there in the corner? A stamp, okay? If you don't put a stamp on it, and you put it in the mailbox, where will it go anywhere?
In the mailbox.
And you put it in the mailbox, that's right. Got to put it in the mailbox. Well, you got to have a stamp. And this right here, they wrote something on there.
Names,
that's right. You got to have their name, and you got to have an address, okay? So that's a letter. And then what do you put inside this envelope?
A
card, right, or a letter, okay? And you send it off. And did you know this? Or toys? Oh, yeah. Put toys in there. That would be great, and it'd have to be a small toy to fit inside this envelope. This envelope's empty. There's nothing inside of there. But normally you put a letter inside this envelope and mail it off, and it goes. And you know what? That's kind of like us and the Lord right here. And we want to do good things. And did you know you can send things on to heaven? But here's how you send them, and that is doing what the Bible says to do. Matter of fact, the Bible is full of letters, and it tells us what to do. In order to send things on to heaven, we have to do what God has. The Bible says that's laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So everybody, bow your head and close your eyes and help us send a letter on to the Lord. Father, I just pray that we would all do the things in your word that your word has to say. Just like sending a letter, we have to do it according to your rules, according to the Bible. And I thank you so much for our blessings and being able to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all walk, okay? All right, slowly. Y'all did good. Way to go.
Before Brother Michael's message this morning, we have a special brought by these two ladies, Casey Timmons and Taylor Frisbee.
Been ostracized for 12 years. I'm used to being alone. Spent everything I had, and now it's gone. I'm used to being put down. My issues tell it all. My only hope is anchored in this fall. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. If I could just press my way through this madness, and his love would heal my soul. If only one touch. So many people call him, how could he ever know that just the brush of him would stop the flow? If he knew, would he rebuke me or shame me to the ground? Well, I'm desperate cause it's never or it's now. If I could just touch the hem of His garment, I know I'd be made whole. If I could just press my way through this madness, His love would heal my soul. And then suddenly He turned around. He said, somebody has unleashed my power. Well, frightened and embarrassed, I bowed. You see, I told Him of my troubles and how I had to touch the hem of His garment. I know I've been made whole, and how I had pressed my way through this madness, and His love has healed my soul. And with one word He touched the hem of my garment, and you know I've been made whole. And somehow He pressed my way through my madness, and His love has healed my soul. I tell you, He touched me. He reached way down and touched me when no one else would touch me. Yo, Jesus sure enough touched me. And I know I've been made whole.
Even more important than the excellent job that Casey and Taylor just did on that song is the message in that song. I hope that all of you have touched by faith the hem of the garment of Christ. Let me explain. If you're not familiar with the story, in God's Word, a woman who was very, very sick, she knew that Jesus had the power to heal. Matter of fact, she believed that He was able to change her, heal her, so powerfully that as He was walking down the crowded street with throngs of people around Him, that if she could get through the crowd and reach through underneath and just touch the edge of His jacket, the edge of His robe, the edge of His coat, if I could just touch His clothes, I'll be healed. She had that much faith. And that's all you need to do. I hope that you know Jesus. Excellent song, powerful message. And thank you all, ladies, for sharing that with us. I hope you're already at Hebrews chapter 8. We'll be finishing up this chapter. I think I'm going to try to preach smarter and not harder today and not blow a gasket. And, you can blow a gasket in a motor. I think you can with your voice. And this passage here, basically, if this is a new thing to you or a review for you, the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. I remember the first vehicle that I purchased from a car dealership. I thought I was signing my life away. I mean, just signing stuff, and different things. And, you know, it's a whole lot easier just buy it from somebody. And but anyway, never mind, just to get into all that. It seems like, but there's an agreement, especially if you have a note. We still have a car note. We're still paying for the Suburban. Many of you have a note. You may have a house note. I've never bought a home, but if I did, I'm sure I'd feel like I'm signing my life away. But there's a contract that you enter into to pay that money back. It's a covenant. It's an agreement between two parties. Now, there's a conditional covenant and an unconditional covenant. A conditional covenant is based upon conditions. The old covenant, which was in the Old Testament, the mediator was Moses. And God made an agreement or a covenant with Israel, especially if you read Exodus chapter 18 and Exodus chapter 19. He begins with the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and he goes on to add a bunch of other laws, you know, society laws, dietary laws, different kind of other things. And after the Ten Commandments, about 613 laws in all, Ten Commandments are just the beginning, okay? And anyway, according to Exodus chapter 19 and Deuteronomy, I don't think this one's in your outline, but it's a repeat because Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Exodus chapter 19 and Deuteronomy chapter 28 says this: Israel, if you do, I'm going to put it in country language, y'all ready? If you keep your end of this agreement, if you keep my laws and my statutes and follow me and serve only me, then I'll keep my word. I'll bless you. I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And I know that's the Abrahamic covenant, but basically the covenant of the law through the mediator of Moses was basically that. Keep my statutes, my commandments, my law, okay? And I'll take care of you. But if you break it, matter of fact, I'll tell you what. I'm trying to sum it up because I don't want to start preaching and you're sitting there the whole sermon. I have no idea what he is talking about. I'd waste my 20, 30 minutes, you know. So I want you to know what this, number one, what a covenant is. If you got a house note, car note, or even agreement with your child, you have a covenant. And some are conditional. That means some party, one or both parties, have to keep their end of the bargain. Unconditional means that one party is just, he's going to do his job and it's going to be fulfilled and it doesn't matter what you do. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm headed there because I like the way it's worded there. Okay, this is, remember, the second generation. The first generation, they died in the wilderness. They wouldn't go in the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. That's a big old chapter, isn't it? If thou wilt observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases, if thou wilt not observe. I don't remember verse 58, if I said the not. But if you don't do my laws, then I'm going to let diseases come on you. I'm going to let sicknesses come on you. And matter of fact, verse 62, and it says, and you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for the multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you. In other words, when you live for me, when you were following me, when you were loving me with all your heart, I rejoiced over you to do you good. and to multiply you so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. Boy, that sounds awful harsh. But he's saying this is the agreement. Matter of fact, in Exodus 19, you know what happens when they first did it? And it says, oh, by the way, before I get it, verse 64 says, I'm going to scatter you among all the people, which he eventually did. Did you know Israel was not an even, they couldn't even, I mean, the Jews were scattered all over this world for 2,000 years, basically, until they regathered as a nation in May 14th, 1948. Okay? And so he did that. But over there, and they entered, they agreed to this covenant. Matter of fact, if you go and read the story, and I'm not going to take the time to do it, but I think I supplied you enough verses if you want to follow it up. But Moses went up there and he said, listen, I'm going to give you these laws, and y'all need to follow them and obey them. Moses came from the Lord, went to the people, and he said, God says he's going to give you some laws, and you got to follow them and do them, or it's not going to be good. And you know what the people said? Okay. Sounds like a good game plan. You know what Moses did? He went back to God and said, they agreed to it. Moses come back and he said, God said it's good. And that's whenever he went up into Exodus 20 and he went up on the mountain. He said, now while I'm up there getting the law, the Bible says this, nobody come around Mount Sinai. Nobody, not even the board, don't even touch it. Because Moses up there getting the law. It's a neat story. That's the old covenant. The law, Israel entered into it. The new covenant is what we're under today. God says this. And now the mediator is not Moses. The new covenant, the mediator is Jesus. He is the mediator between God and man of the new covenant. It's a new agreement. So let's begin reading Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. And now hath... He obtained a more excellent ministry. We're talking about Jesus. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Better than what? The old one. Which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant, the one between Moses and Israel, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, this is a quotation from verse 8 all the way through verse 12 is a quotation from the book of Jeremiah. But let's keep reading here in Hebrews. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Okay, so God is about to share what he's going to do two ways, physically and spiritually, with Israel and with the world, or whoever would believe in him by faith, because this is a covenant of faith. But anyway, let's continue reading. For this covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And it goes on to talk about it some more in the next chapter, but we're not going to... go there yet. First of all, let's talk about this morning for a little while. And it's repeated later on. We can look at the new covenant, and I'll read those real quickly. Of course, we have this one here. And then chapter 10, verse 16 and 17 says this. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Okay, the first covenant was based upon the blood of animals. The second covenant is based upon the blood of Jesus. There's a big difference there, okay? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:4, I believe it is, that the blood of bulls and goats never took away anyone's sins. It was faith in the Old Testament that saved an individual, that faith that God was accepting this, faith that God one day would send the last sacrifice that was needed, and that sacrifice, of course, was Jesus. And the first part says this, Moses versus Jesus. Let's look at some real quick scriptures here. Verse 6 says, Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. Look at chapter 9 and verse 15. Still in Hebrews. Chapter 9 and verse 15 says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, which they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Chapter 12 and verse 24 says this, still in Hebrews. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, which was a reference to a sacrifice even given before the law was ever mentioned by Moses. Now, unless you're here this morning and you've done a lot of study, you might not can appreciate this. I'm going to do my best in the next 20 minutes or so to help you appreciate what's been 4,000 years in the making. From the time of Moses to the time of Christ. Matter of fact, you know, in most ages in the Bible, most people talk about, let me back up and use a word that I would want to use if I was sitting in your spot. Most time periods in the Bible overlap. The law and grace is the time of Christ, overlapped. Matter of fact, he was beginning his first church while the law was still in effect. Matter of fact, Jesus kept the law. He kept all the laws until he left this world. And then the Bible says God tore the veil in the temple in two. And so there was a little bit of overlapping period there. You have from the patriarchal days back on to Adam and Eve, and God was pleased with animal sacrifices. The animal sacrifices didn't save anybody. It was the obedience and faith that went, in other words, I choose to accept what God wants. God desires this. To have a right relationship with Him was animal sacrifices. That blood didn't save, but it was saying, God, I believe you, and I'm going to, by faith, trust you and do what you ask. And that was offer these. And the whole reason that God gave the law, now, we could get into this. I think we've already covered it. The whole reason for the law was what? To show people we're sinners. How do you know murder's wrong? You say, well, everybody knows that. What if there was a country that didn't believe the Bible, but just says it's okay to murder somebody? There's nothing wrong with it. You can kill anybody you want to and get away with it. You see, if you take away the Bible from off this planet, who's got the rule book for life? Anybody got the rule book for life? If you take the Bible off this planet, who's got the rule book? You say, you just make up laws that make our society work. Could not, though, somebody change those laws? Yeah, they could. Most of our laws here in the United States, most of them, not all of them, are based on the Bible. And they're good laws. Because God tells us what's wrong. Adultery is wrong. Murder is wrong. Just simple things. Lying is wrong. Okay? That's the reason I've got, you know, there's so many hunter and fishermen here in Ashley County. I've got my work cut out for me. I've got to deal with all these liars here in Ashley County, of which I am one of, you know. It's okay to stretch that fish or that spread on those deer horns. But, you know, lying is wrong. Okay? There's a ton of stuff. How do we know it's wrong? Who said it's wrong? Where's the rule book? You know, a lot of people have rules that, you know, are they right or are they wrong? How do we know? The only way to, Abraham Lincoln said the only way to know right from wrong is the Word of God. But anyway, so now you know, I call it Moses versus Jesus. Moses was the mediator of the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. Okay? God gave the law to Israel. And they were supposed to be an example to the world about how God is a great God, and Israel was to be God's, well, still is, but they failed to be God's chosen vessel. It was the chosen vessel to send His Son. You know why Israel's so special? Because that's the nation whom He chose to send His Son through. He could have chosen any nation, any people, but He started all the way back to Adam and Eve. Then Abraham, he said, I'll make your name great and your seed as the stars of the heaven. And he said, by your seed will the earth be blessed. Of course, he was talking about his son. Okay? And he chose that. He said, I'm going to send my son through Abraham. And he did. And he gave the law for just round figures for 2,000 years. The law showed or was for Israel to be an example to the world and, of course, to show sin to us what right and wrong is. But the law didn't save anyone. Matter of fact, it says in our text here that, you know, let's see, I'm just go ahead and move on to part two. I call it the reason for the new covenant. Verse 7 says this. The first one had faults. And probably that may be too strong of a word, but it comes out of the Bible. And what that means here, for if the first covenant had been faultless, and in other words, it came up short. The law never saved anybody. That's why I remember going around whenever Karen and I were dating. I was a part of their youth group. Of course, I joined the church. I was 19 years old. Joined their church, and I only had one thing on my mind. It wasn't, I want to serve the Lord in this church. It was, how can I get closer to Karen, okay? That's the whole purpose on joining Bossier City Missionary Baptist Church. It wasn't spiritual reasons. It was just one thing. There's the foxy-looking lady, and I want to get closer to her, okay? That's years ago. Sorry, bad terminology. And so, you know, so I want to do that, so I'm part of the youth group. Okay? And so our youth group is going on outreach. We're knocking on doors in this neighborhood. Knock, 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 knocking on doors. And you know what people say? We ask them this question. If you were to die today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? That's a good question to ask somebody. That's an easy question to ask. You reckon if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? That's a good question for me to ask you here this morning. If you were to die today, where would you go? Where would you go? And how do you know? Somebody said many times the answer was this. Well, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. But keeping the Ten, even if, get this. If somebody from the time that they were a little bitty baby, and we got some little bitty babies in here, and I am thrilled. If from a little bitty baby until you drew your last breath, if you were able to keep the Ten Commandments, you still would never get saved. Mm-hmm. Just by keeping those. Now, yeah, I know the first one. Basically is this, you know, to love the Lord God. Yeah, but you just love Him in action and just love Him by keeping those set of rules. The only way to get saved, matter of fact, the Bible says, you know how Abraham got saved? The Bible tells you how Abraham got saved. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's how he got saved. You know how Adam and Eve got saved? He said, I've got some coats of skins. I've killed these two animals, and I've got these coats of skins here. Take off your fig leaves and put them on. And you know what they could have said? I like our church and our fig leaves. And I like, you know, there's really nothing. And I'm not as bad as some people are. I don't know who they'd be talking about, but, you know, that's what we say today. I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or I know who goes to that church, and I am just as good as them. You know what you're doing? You're comparing yourself to others. You know what the Bible says? You're supposed to compare yourself to Christ. And you know what happens then? We all fall short. That's why we need to be saved. That's the reason for the new covenant. Keeping rules has never saved anybody. Please understand me. Folks, can I get it any plainer? Okay? Old covenant, rules. It had a purpose, I know. But the Bible says, listen to me clearly, it had a fault. It had a fault. It came up short. It was not designed to save. It was designed to point. Okay? New covenant can save. It's complete. And the mediator will never die. And his name is Jesus. Old covenant, keep rules. I think I can get there on my own. No, we can't. New covenant, accept the work of Christ, and it's unconditional. You know why? All the conditions he does. All you have to do is enter into it. Just say, okay, I'm in agreement. That's what I have to do. Nothing. What do you have to do to get saved? Nothing. Just enter into the agreement. That's it. Just agree. Say, I agree. I want in. That's how I got saved back in 1977. I said, I don't want to die without the Lord, and I want to go to heaven. How do I get from here to here? God says, just believe me. Accept me. Not with your head. Do you believe there is Jesus? That didn't save you. Do you accept for what he did for you, and have you asked him to save you? I did that, and he did. It's unconditional. Means I don't have to do anything. He does all the work for me. And he did. So I hope that's what I want you to understand. What is the old covenant? What is the new covenant? Why do we have to have it? The old covenant couldn't save anyone. Matter of fact, let's go to these next few scriptures, because they just kind of sum it up in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. I don't know if this is a home run, Brother Dennis, but this is at least a double, okay? Romans 8, 3. For what the law could not do. Folks, I don't consider myself to be a smart man. I think I can understand that. I like stuff that's easy, Brother Shane. I like simple, simple, simple. Okay? Look what it says. For what the law could not do. What could it not do? Because it was weak through the flesh. You know what that means? Nobody besides Jesus has ever kept all of them. Through God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin. The law pointed to sin, or pointed that we all sin, it pointed to Christ. Law couldn't save anybody. Well, it says that there. Now look at Galatians 3 and 21. That's not too far from there. Is then the law against the promises of God? Galatians 3:21. I'm not going to leave you behind. Okay. Is the law? Does the law mean that the New Testament is wrong? Or does the New Testament mean the law is wrong? No. They work together. The law shows man his need, And it shows how holy God is. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. That makes sense. If the law could have saved somebody, it would have done it. But it didn't, because it couldn't. I like that. Well, that's the reason we needed a new covenant. And then back to our text, I'm back in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there had been no place sought for the second. Look back at chapter 7 and verse 11. I'm still in Hebrews. What I'm doing, I've got it there. I'm comparing two scriptures, chapter 8, verse 7 to what? Chapter 7, verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, which means what? The Old Testament law. For under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should come up? Who was Jesus? He was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But it tells you, what's the whole purpose of me this 5 minutes? Showing why we need it. The law had faults. It came up short. The new covenant, first with Israel, then with everyone, basically, verse 8. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And because they did not accept Christ, he said, which he knew, but anyway, eventually Israel could have preached to the whole world, but they didn't. So the Lord instituted the church to carry the gospel to the whole world. Israel failed. The church, matter of fact, Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church, or through a church, okay? Galatians chapter 3. Now, I know I may have y'all flipping. You can listen, or you can read. But back to that scripture real quick. The new covenant. And what is the purpose of this? To show that God gave the new covenant to Israel first. Matter of fact, it says it several times in the gospel. Jesus came to the house of Israel, and then to the whole world. He came to the Jew first. What does the Bible say? Romans 1:16. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That means all nations. Okay? So, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. Uh-oh. Got a crack in the gasket. Okay. Getting there. Woo. All right. As long as it's not a head gasket. Okay. All right. The head fall off. Galatians 3, verse 7, 8, and 29. Okay. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that in other words, are you saved this morning? If you're saved, the Bible says right here, you're also a child of Abraham. That this is talking about spiritually. You're a spiritual Jew. The Bible says in Galatians 3, 8 then, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, which is another reference to non-Jewish people. When Paul wrote this, they knew what heathen were. If you're not a Jew, you're a heathen. And you're second class, no class, whatever. All right? Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then finally, verse 29. And if you be Christ, that means you're saved, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I put in there two big words, and I don't want to try to teach you a theology lesson. But the new covenant is fulfilled two ways. Soteriologically, can't even get it, say it myself, which means by salvation. Salvation is offered to everyone. Eschatologically, which means the end times, the study of the end times and prophecies, it'll be finally the last part of this where it says, I will make that covenant, will I make the house of Israel after those days? And I'll put the law into their mind and write them upon their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. That has not been fulfilled to Israel yet. But it will be one day during the millennial reign. Folks, right now, you can go over there right now. There's some saved Israeli citizens over there, but as a nation, they do not believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a nation. But they will, he promises they will one day, and that they will. And that'll happen, though, during the millennial reign. So, right now, what good is the new covenant for you? Thank the Lord, we're not under the law anymore. We're not. And Israel's, they're supposed to accept the new covenant. When Jesus Christ came, they were supposed to accept the new covenant. Jeremiah said, I'm going to establish a new covenant with Israel. But they rejected it. Therefore, it was now handed to all the world. It's a new covenant. God's got a new covenant for you. And I'm just talking salvation part of this new covenant. Everybody can enter into this new covenant. And it's unconditional, meaning this, that if you'll accept it, God will do it. He'll fulfill it. He'll keep you saved. The Bible says, according to the conditional covenant, the old covenant was this. Let's enter into it, but if you mess up, I'm going to bring the hammer down. Guess what happens now if you're saved? Oh, well, thank you, Ken. And look over there. I was, you know, folks, if y'all see somebody headed down the aisle and he's carrying something up besides water, so you one of y'all jump on him, okay? I hear these stories about people wanting to jump on preachers here lately. But, well, I've had that happen to me. One time I was preaching, and y'all have heard the story, and a fella come down the aisle, and we had a knockdown drag out behind the pulpit. Y'all get him, okay? Don't let that happen. Thank you. All right. But guess what? Your part of the new covenant is this. I accept your work. Dear Lord, I accept you. And He keeps you saved. The old one, if you messed up, if you did the law, oh man, I messed up. You know, God said, well, sorry. Now you got to go offer the, they had the whole burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the red heifer offering, the Yom Kippur offering. There's seven of them total. I mean, if you messed up, then they had this offering for this and this and this. So if you messed up, oh man, I got to do this. But guess what? Guess what? If you're saved, now some religions don't teach this. God saves you, and He's the one that, this is what the Bible says. God saves you, and He's the one that keeps you saved. It's unconditional. You say, well, that means you can, Baptists believe that you can sin and do anything you want to do, but guess what? It doesn't mean that God's not going to convict you, make you miserable, saying you're, it's kind of like, how many of you love your kids? Many of y'all love your kids dearly. Do you want your kids going off and doing stupid things and messing up? No, you don't want, you say, you, if they're under your roof, you can spank them or ever how you punish them or whatever you do. And you try to get them to do right. But if they're out from your roof, you just say, I want you to do right. I want you to, don't do that. You mean that's dangerous and you'll ruin your life if you do that. But once they're out from under your roof, kids that do things you don't want them to do, or even under your roof. And that's the way you are with God. Oh, by the way, because God's perfect, He's going to love you perfectly. And He'll punish you perfectly. Because you're His child, and He's your Father, if you're saved. If you're not saved, you're not a part of the new covenant, and He's not your Heavenly Father. Which brings me back to this question. Before I close, and I'm going to hit those last few points real quick, and I can do it, because y'all know I can. But here's what, I'm going to repeat this one more time. If you're not a part of the new covenant, you know what that means? What question did I ask at the beginning of my message? If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? God drew out a long contract. Jesus signed in blood on that contract. And all he's asking you is to sign, and here's how you sign, by giving him your heart. Say, I will. How many rules do I have to keep? You know what he says? None. Some people say, well, that means after I get saved, I can behave any way I want to. After you get saved, you don't want to, because he's in your heart. I did not. There's a lot of things I didn't do as a teenager and a young adult because I didn't want to hurt my mom and dad's feelings. My dad, state trooper for all those years, he said, you know what? He dealt with parents, of course, being a lawman, every day whose kids were in jail. And thank the Lord. Y'all remember that fella? I got time. Y'all remember that fella who filled in for me while I was at the Philippines, Brother Keith Chamberlain? Big, tall guy. I thank the Lord for his ministry. He ministers to people in prisons up there in North Arkansas. He does an outstanding job. There was a couple prisoners that got saved last week at the prison. I don't remember the name of it, but where he goes. You hope it doesn't take the school of hard knocks to get some people's attention. But sometimes it does take the school of hard knocks to get some people's attention. If you're praying for your family or your friends, name them to God. Name their name when you pray. And name them to God. Because there's always hope. The last part there says this is just a comparison. It says the old covenant is gone. He says it's done away with. He said in verse 9 and verse 13, he said the first is old. I'm doing away with it. And we're going to go in the new covenant. Basically, I put a little summary there. The old covenant was written on dead stones. The new covenant's written on living hearts. The old covenant pointed to Christ. The new covenant is based on Christ. The old covenant was a reminder of sin. And this is what I like best of all. The new covenant put away sin. Because it's based on the blood of Jesus. Brother Evan and our musicians, as we get ready, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that you've helped my voice hold up to speak your word. And I hope that in these few minutes this morning that I've been able to explain that you've done everything necessary for us to have a home in heaven. Your word calls it the new covenant, and it's based upon your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that you paid the price. Father, that you gave your Son to be that sacrifice. If there's someone here, and they may have thought that they were saved, but right now they're not sure, let's help us get sure today and call on you and get things right. Thank you for a great week of revival, and thank you for everybody that's here this morning. May we listen to what you have to say to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.